from that verse. Isaiah chapter 30. We'll set a little context here. Context here is Sennacherib, if I remember right, the king of Assyria was planning to attack Israel. And instead of turning to God for help, King Hezekiah, who was the king of Israel at the time, sought help from Pharaoh in Egypt. Notice verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. In other words, instead of looking to the Lord, which is what they should have done, they decided, you know what, we're going down to Egypt for help. Verse 3. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be their shame. And trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be their humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes, and they were all ashamed of the people who could not benefit them, or to be help or benefit, but a shame and also reproach. The burden against the beasts of the south, through a land of trouble and anguish from which came the lioness and the lion, the viper and fiery serpent, they will carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on humps of camels to a people who shall not profit. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I have called her Rahab Hemshabeth. Now go right before them on the tablet and note it on the scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in the high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. And here's the hope. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore he will be exalted, and he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice, blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And so in a place of adversity, instead of looking to the Lord, they put their faith in the arm of flesh. They were in unbelief. And so instead of trusting the Lord and believing that he would deliver them, And there's always two ways you can go. You can either quit and say, forget it or whatever, or they can be like what here. They were very impetuous. They ran to Egypt for help. But God says, I am going to wait. I'm going to wait. You know, God is saying here, even though I know what you're going to do, I still have a plan, and I still have your best in mind, and I'm going to wait for you to come to the end of yourself so I can be gracious to you and I can show you mercy. You know, on one side, when your adversity comes, you're tempted to bail out or whatever. On the other side, you are tempted to take everything in your own hands and make hasty or impulsive decisions that are reckless, like Israel did here. And God says, I'm going to wait. And usually what he does is he waits for us to come to the end of ourselves. Now what they should have done, and what we should do, is communicated in verse 15. In returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In other words, do you believe my promises? Do you believe that I'm going to take care of you? Do you believe that I got this situation under control? And obviously the answer was no. You know, I wrote down here Psalm 130 and verse 5, but I forgot to write it down. Well, someone look that verse up. Psalm 130 and verse 5. Whoever's got it can raise their hand and read it for us, Nick.
Since I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I do.
That's what we should be doing. You know, when you're waiting on the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're hoping in his word. And what the nation of Israel here, this is the 10 northern tribes. As Assyria was coming down there, they would not hope in his word. They would not hope in his promise. They would not wait. You know, hope is waiting by faith, believing that God at the right time is going to fulfill his promise for his glory. And so in verse 18, he says, you know what? Therefore, the Lord will wait. And why is he going to wait? So he can be gracious to you. So he can be gracious to you. I'm going to wait for you to come to the end of yourself and see all those false confidences you have, so I can show you my amazing grace. And I can deliver you in a way that was always there all along had you been willing to wait. You know, we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, therefore will I be exalted, so I can have mercy upon you. Another, I get the idea here that God's going to exalt himself, step up to the plate, so he can show you his amazing mercy. He's going to put forth his power. And he's going to give the increase. Now the Lord is a God of justice. He is going to deal with Israel here. But he's going to be gracious. He's going to have mercy. And ultimately the end is going to be good. Verse 19, the people shall dwell in Zion. They're going to weep no more. God will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And notice, the Lord does give the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, but he's going to give you teachers. Your ears will hear a word, and you'll be able to walk in it. You know, it just reminded me as I thought about it very briefly today that unbelief and impatience always go hand in hand. When an adversity hits, in many cases, my first reaction is, I better fix this and I better fix it right now. And yet God says, will you wait upon me? Isaiah 49:23 says, they that wait for me will not be disappointed. And Israel never did. God says, if you are willing to rest, verse 15, in quietness and confidence will be your strength, and allow God to give you what you stand in need of. He will make you strong. He will save you. He will bless you if you wait patiently for him. Those that wait for him will not be put to shame. And so you're wondering why the Lord hasn't come to your rescue just yet. He's waiting so he can be gracious to you. Then he's going to be exalted and he's going to show his mercy upon you. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Let me just encourage you that God can't do anything but love you. He loved you in the person of the Savior. He loves you especially now as his forever son. And quietness and confidence will be your strength. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful that you are the God of all grace and you're God of all mercy. You're the God of all love, the God of all comfort. You're our very own Heavenly Father.